Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sequent Scientific Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Singhal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nirav. A very good morning, and thank you for joining us today for Sequent Scientific's earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and full year ended financial year 2023. Today we have with us Mr. Raja Ram, Sequent's Managing Director, Mr. P.B. Raghavendra Rao, CFO, to share the highlights of the business and financials for the quarter. I hope you've gone through our results release and the quarterly investor presentation, which have been uploaded on our website as well as the stock exchange. The transcript for this call will be available in a week's time on the company's website. Please note that today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in relation to the risks pertaining to our business. After the end of this call, in case you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to the investor relation team. I now hand over the call to Mr. Raja Ram to make the opening comments.
Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our quarter four and full year 2023 earnings call. Joining me on this call is Mr. Raghavendra Rao, our Chief Financial Officer. We are at a very important juncture in the journey of this company, and I am happy to address this forum as we take some decisive steps towards building this company as a major player in animal health. I'll start with an overview of the company. We are the largest animal health company from India and amongst the top 25 in the world. We have a presence across nearly 100 countries, and about two-thirds of our revenue comes from regulated markets. We have a unique combination of strength. In the formulations area, we have a front-end presence in key animal health markets of the world, and at the same time, we are the only company in India to have set up a U.S. FDA-approved greenfield veterinary API facility. So that's a set of strengths which stand with us as we build our next few years. Last quarter, we had indicated that we are initiating steps to improve our margins and adjust our plans so that we are well prepared in this fast-changing environment globally and in India. As part of this strategic shift, some of the actions we have taken in this quarter's results are reflected, and they prepare us for an accelerated growth to profitability in the next two to four quarters while setting the foundation for long-term competitiveness. As a broader background on the global market situation, I'll comment on two areas. One is the macro environment. This remains challenging. Inflation and other consequences of geopolitical developments continue to put pressure on costs and consequently on demand. In our case, some markets like Turkey and parts of Europe are impacted, but we are also seeing silver linings as these situations tend to create opportunities for exploring new business models. Second, the industry we operate in. Although the year gone by has been difficult due to the impact of agri-commodities and feed costs, which in turn affect the economies where they keep food-producing animals, the animal health industry overall continues to hold long-term promise. The underlying drivers for long-term growth of the industry, which is focus on healthy animal protein, adoption of pets, and the growth of emerging markets, continues to remain intact. While Raghav will talk in detail on the quarters and full-year financials, let me share some highlights of our overall results. Our revenues in the quarter have been a mixed bag. Overall, the quarter four revenues have declined year-on-year by 4.4%. But however, within that, our formulations business has grown by 2.6% year-on-year, and we are seeing in constant currency terms. And in some markets of Europe and emerging markets, we actually are seeing high growth, in fact, in double digits. The business in Turkey, of course, has been impacted by the disruptions caused on account of the devastating earthquake. While our people and facility were not affected, it has, in fact, impacted some of the demand. At the same time, we also see important developments in our product portfolio, and we have launched a range of formulations for gut health of animals in Europe, which in a short span has actually crossed 3 million euros of sales. On the API front, our revenues have been a bit muted because we expect some of the customer orders to spill over into the next quarter. At the same time, we have continued to file for new products with 8 new filings this year, and we have started the commercialization of new products as part of our long-term contract with a leading animal health player in the world. We have also invested in expanding our R&D capacity as we anticipate a fast-growing requirement for new products in the next 3 to 5 years. As we navigate this mixed environment, we are taking some decisive steps to make sure that we are future resilient by operating in areas which offer the best opportunities for growth and profitability. And in this regard, we have taken a few major initiatives this quarter whose benefits will start showing in the coming year and beyond. First, our manufacturing operations in Germany have been facing challenges for a while in terms of operating costs due to the prevailing economic environment. And after assessing our options, we have decided to close the manufacturing facility. This will translate quickly into accretive and sustainable margins for the company. We will continue to serve our customers through alternative partners and CMO arrangements. There is a one-off charge in the results due to this strategic shift. Our API business is unique. It has 72% of its revenues from regulated markets, and the top 10 customers account for nearly 60% of the business. But as we grow, we will need to be more competitive. Therefore, we have initiated a large-scale cost transformation and margin improvement project, which is internally called Project Pragati, across the business. And this will start showing in our margin profile in the next 2 quarters. On formulations, we are bullish about India and Brazil. We intend to accelerate our organic growth through new launches and expanded reach. At the same time, we are reshaping our portfolio and operations in markets like Turkey and parts of Europe to focus on growth segments and also improve our profitability. And finally, across the group, we have intense efforts on costs and working capital, and we are already beginning to see the results in this quarter itself. Before I hand over to Raghav, I would like to emphasize the following. We are a unique company in a unique industry. The environment, however, requires us at times to adjust our plans so that we remain competitive in the long term. With the actions outlined, we expect to be better prepared for the opportunities ahead and do so profitably and responsibly. On one hand, we are cutting costs where we see little long-term value, but on the other hand, we are investing in capacity, in R&D, in quality, and in people, because we believe that in the next 3 to 4 quarters, we would be well-placed to ride the recovery in our industry. I will now hand over this to Raghav for more details on the financial performance.
Thank you, Raja. Good morning, everyone. I will now briefly update on the key financial metrics for Q4 as well as for the full year 23. I will start with the formulation revenues. Formulations business contributed rupees 255.9 crore to the top line with a 2.6% year-on-year growth and down by 1.1% Q-on-Q on reported terms. On constant currency terms, formulation has grown by 2.9% year-on-year. Europe business continues to grow and clock a revenue of rupees 114.6 crores, which is a growth of 9.1% quarter-on-quarter and 11.9% year-on-year. The API business revenue is at rupees 94.1 crore. Total revenue for the quarter is 366.7 crore, down 4.4% year-on-year and down 2.3% QOQ. For the full year, FY23, the revenue is at rupees 1,420.9 crores, which is 0.6% growth year-on-year and 2.2% growth in constant currency terms. This is despite the headwinds that we face across multiple businesses. Europe clocked a sale of 414.7 crores for the year, which is a growth of 1.7% in constant currency terms. Emerging market segment clocked a sale of 480.7 crores, which is 7.8% year-on-year growth and a robust 15.9% in constant currency terms. India clocked a revenue of 105.5 crores, which is a growth of 3.5% over the previous year. The API business contributed 380.8 crores to the revenue on a full year basis. Overall, gross margins for the quarter is at 39.5 crores compared to 42.1 in the previous quarter. We have taken multiple actions in controlling the working capital. There is a significant reduction, particularly in API inventory, on account of these actions. The impact on gross margins on account of these is about 1.5% in the current quarter. Our full year gross margin is at 41.2%. In spite of the inflationary pressures, we have managed to control our operating costs. Our operating expense at the full year level is at rupees 288.6 crores compared to rupees 279.1 crores during the previous year. In Q4, EBITDA excluding ESOP cost stood at rupees 12.8 crores, and on a full year basis, EBITDA pre-ESOP is at 75.6 crores and is at 5.3% of the revenue. During the quarter, we have had an exceptional hit of rupees 61.6 crores driven by closure of plant operations in Germany and also an impairment impact on Turkey because of the prevailing economic situation in Turkey. This is, other than the rupees 5.6 crore hyperinflation related impact that we have taken because of the conditions in Turkey. Exchange loss for the quarter is at rupees 3 crores. This is mainly driven by the movement in Turkish lira and euro. For the full year, impact on account of exceptional items is at 65.8 crores, which includes, other than costs that I just mentioned about, which are relating to the closing down of Germany operations and Turkey impairment. This also includes a loss due to fire at Vizag, which we took in Q1 of FY23. We also have rupees 15.8 crore impact on account of hyperinflation adjustments on a full year basis on the P&L. We continue to work on bringing efficiencies into the operations across the globe. Our working capital has reduced by 11 days over the previous quarter and now stands at rupees 426.1 crore as compared to 480.4 crores as on December end. The capital expenditure in FY23 was at approximately rupees 86 crores with significant of it being utilized for capacity enhancement in our Vizag facility to meet increasing demands. Net debt is at rupees 356.1 crore against 363 crores in December, more or less constant. I thank you all for your support. I request for the forum to be now open for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Vishwas, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good morning. I had a couple of questions, and the first question is relating to the API plant. So how much is the utilization there right now, and are we planning to add more capacity for API business, and what are the products we have in our pipeline relating to that, and what are the revenue which we can get from these new APIs? So this is my first question.
Thank you for asking this question. So today our capacity utilization of our API business is between 70 to 75%. Going ahead, of course, we will have requirements, but there are two components to increasing capacity. One is the debottlenecking the capacity which we have right now. And as I did indicate in my call, one of the big initiatives we have is on improving productivity and margin. So we will be debottlenecking some capacity. And of course, we are investing in CapEx, you know, to increase our capacity because we have some new products and some new partnerships which are coming up with leading players. And therefore, we will add capacity as those requirements come in. You had some another question, some more question on the API piece, which was...
Yes, I just wanted to know how much revenue or any indication which we can get from these new APIs, any broad view.
So we expect that, you know, we will be adding, you know, 1 to 2 products immediately in terms of new products and probably going up to 6 to 7 in the next 3 years. And typically we should expect... you know, about 8 to 10% of our revenues to come from new products in the next 2 years.
Okay, got it. My second question is on the actions you are taking in Europe, like closing a factory which you indicated. So can you elaborate some more reasons on the, like behind the scene, and what benefits can we expect from these actions on the performance of the company?
So we have a factory in Germany, which is the injectables plant. It also makes some other liquids for animal health. And the markets for this plant are some markets in Europe, some in East Europe, and emerging markets in Africa. But being located in Germany, it's an old plant. We had plans of, you know, putting in CapEx and modernizing this plant to be able to take the project, the products outside of Europe, like the U.S. But there has been a significant change in the operating environment in Europe. The operating costs have gone up quite substantially in terms of both energy, utilities, as well as labor costs. And at the same time, you know, it will take us also more investment to be able to upgrade the plant. So we felt that, you know, since we've been incurring a loss on this plant for the last few years, there were no alternative options a couple of years ago. But now there are alternatives to actually get these products manufactured at more competitive CMOs and third parties. And that's the reason why we want to close the operations in that plant. And that will help us conserve currently the burn which is happening in that factory. And we should be able to get the benefit coming in, you know, in about a quarter from now. As far as the quantum of the benefit, I think we've indicated it. Raghu, what should it roughly be about?
It could be about annualized basis, about 22 to 24 crores.
Yes, sorry. But yeah, so we should take about 20 odd crores would be the annualized basis of this. But as and when we sort of implement it, it should actually start somewhere around next quarter.
Got it. And lastly, one question on the Turkey side. So what is the situation there in our business there?
Do you have any more questions, or is this the last one?
I have just one question on Turkey business.
Okay, yeah.
So what is the situation there, and how is the business there, and what is the situation with respect to hyperinflation? So these are the broad questions.
Okay, I'll answer the first part. Turkey is a very important animal health market. It is in the top 10 markets of the world. And... you know, and we also as a company have a very strong presence. We are in the top five, in fact now in the top three of the ruminant cattle animal health business. And the brands are very strong. So it's an important market. Unfortunately, in recent times, the country has gone through an economic challenge because of which there has been a high amount of inflation, and also the rise in agri prices have meant that there is a reduction in the demand for some of the animal meat and animal proteins. And therefore, it is beginning to impact the business performance. But we have taken actions in that regard in terms of, you know, aggressive pricing, in terms of looking at our portfolio, reducing some of our costs. But we have to wait and watch because these actions in recent times have not been adequate to compensate for the level of inflation. But we do see other opportunities in Turkey, which we are getting into action now, which is to use Turkey as a potential export location, because when you have this degree of it's also become more competitive as a cost base for supplying to some markets in Europe, etc. We also make injectables in that plant, which is one of the few plants which makes injectables. It's a Europe GMP certified facility. So all those things put together, require us to adjust our own business because we have a strong presence there. But we are conserving costs and we are doing everything to make sure that we remain profitable in Turkey. So that's really the situation. Of course, there has been a devastating earthquake, which did not impact our facility or our employees, but did impact the market where, the earthquake incident took place, which is about 10-15% of the Turkish business. And that trickle down has impacted the current demand. But we do expect that, things could change. In any case, our actions are to make sure we are profitable in that regard. On the matter of hyperinflation, I'll probably ask Raghav to comment and explain what the principles are.
So, if you see the face of the P&L, we have taken for the current year an impact of almost 16 crores for the full year.
Hyperinflation, essentially.
And there is another 2.84 sitting, which has impacted the EBITDA, above EBITDA.
Thank you very much. Vishwas, I'll request to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from Lano Siddhant, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I just had a couple of questions. So my first question is, as you mentioned, there has been a large exceptional item during this quarter. So is this the end or do you expect more of it going further?
So clearly, because it is exceptional and it's large, the idea was that this was had to be taken now and it was the right time to rebase some of our operations and actually act so that we can take advantage of the accretive margin and the lower cost base as we begin to go ahead. So I don't expect any more exceptional items in this regard in the coming quarters, and that's the reason why we've decided that even though it is large and it is does impact the results of the quarter, we would rather take the charge one shot in this quarter itself so that we can sort of go on a clean sheet moving ahead.
Sir, in the presentation, it was mentioned that the inventory reduction has affected the gross margin. So can you comment why such, why it has been two losses this year?
Yeah, so like I said, we have been working on, bringing in more efficiency into our overall working capital. So actions on inventory were aligned to that purpose. So what happens when you do actions on the inventory? There are a couple of pieces that come and hit your gross margin. One is that you make, you liquidate some inventories, you make provisions against some interest, but more importantly is when you reduce your inventory, some of the overhead sitting on the inventory also impact your overall gross margin for the period. So roughly, broadly as I indicated earlier, it's about 1.5% impact on the gross margin for the quarter.
So it's the right direct thing to do, which is to reduce your inventory, but you do end up having an accounting charge which comes on the P&L. So I think from a health of the business operation, it's absolutely the right direction to go ahead and reduce inventories. But in terms of an accounting charge, it can come, on your – that's what has really happened.
Got it. Sir, one last question. Historically, you have mentioned that the company is going under restructuring, but the employee costs have been more over the same or, let us say, increasing. Can you point out any reason for this?
We really don't have a significant increase. I'll ask Raghav to comment, but just before that, let me say that some of the impact of the restructuring which we have just spoken about, some of these will obviously trickle in the margin improvement as it comes in the coming quarter. The second part of it is that some of the increase in employee costs tends to be because of annualization of when you recruit them and hire them as well. But in terms of our headcount, we are directionally going lower than what we have. Rahul, anything else on that?
No, nothing more to add unless there is specific.
No.
Yeah, so you are right, Ajay, in the sense that we are taking some of the restructuring impacts on the inventory line, on the manpower line, sorry, on the employee benefit line. But what you have to also remember is that there will be increments and there will be replacement costs that will come in on this line. And I believe that it is more or less stable between the two quarters, between December and March.
Got it, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pranav, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. So, I have a couple of questions. So, what are the company's plans for acquisitions in the future for growth, and how is the importance of India in this plan?
So, we clearly will look for any attractive assets which we can acquire, but it will be done, in terms of responsible funding for this, and it should be an asset that, you know, adds value to the business and where we also can add value. So we are completely open. We are also at all points of time in engagement with different potential assets for acquisition. Obviously, from a market point of view, India is attractive, but we also see some interest in, you know, one or two assets outside of India, but largely that interest is in India at this point of time.
Another one of my question is regarding the sales and margin growth. So, what is the expectation that the management is having for the next 3 years?
As I said, that there is clearly a lot of initiatives which we have started. Some of it due to, you know, reshaping, restructuring, but also the growth that we are seeing in some of the markets in the short and medium term. We really don't take this as any kind of guidance, but what we expect some of our initiatives and to deliver has split it into two horizons. One is that, in the short term, which would be really the exit of FY24, we should expect the exit margins to begin to come into double digits. And that's something that, is on our plan. And as far as we look at medium term, which would be about 24 to 36 months, we should expect our margin to come to late teens. So roughly, in the short term, which is the next 12 months, we should expect the exit margin of the company to be, somewhere in double digits. And in 3 years, we should be in about late teens in terms of our margin.
Thank you. That's all from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just
one
on the EBITDA side, you are saying your sort of adjusted EBITDA is 110 crores for the year. If you could share the corresponding number for the Q4.
Corresponding numbers for Q4.
So, right. Yeah, so I'm just thinking aloud. So we had exited Q4 at a reported EBITDA of about 12.8. So in this, you can add a couple of numbers, particularly the 6 crore inventory is a Q4 item, as well as about 1.1 crore is about on the hyperinflation is a Q4 item. You can add about 5.5 crores for the discontinued operations of Jones. It will come roughly come to about 21-22 crores. Okay.
22 crores. Okay. So,
yeah.
So how should one think about it? Is it the new basis of 88 crores if I analyze Q4 or 110 crores? Like, what is your, jump-off point in terms of how the EBITDA will start to improve from here?
So I think you should look at more from exit to exit than to look at it, because some of the actions of these don't follow, 1/4 per quarter. I think on a, you should look at a base, my sense is on a, you know, more like a 22 crore kind of a base, on which we should see us as, you know, going in line with the kind of direction which I've given. On an annualized basis, I think it would be about 110. Yeah?
Yeah. So, what you have to remember, Rajesh, is not all impacts are embedded into Q4. So therefore, it is better to look at it on an annualized basis.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why I was saying that one should think of 110 as the number that is sort of on a...
Sorry, you're not audible.
Yeah, I think, you know, but if you're asking, I think you should, whether we should take quarter as a reference or should we take the annualized adjusted 110 as a reference, I would say that we should take the annualized as a reference, on this.
Understood. Okay. And then one quick question on the inventory side. When you have taken the markdown in this quarter, is it actually a cash loss or is it just a accounting entry you have taken and then you liquidate that inventory and you may get some write back from that? How should one think about that?
It is the way inventory works, Rajesh, is it's not entirely a markdown. There is a very small element of actually markdown. It is actually what happens is when there is a drastic change between the opening inventory and your closing inventory for a period, there's a lot of release of overheads sitting in the inventory in the balance sheet to the P&L. So it has a significant impact, and particularly the period is only one quarter, it appears significant. So that is the major impact on inventory.
Okay, so I'll take this offline. I'm not sure if I understand it.
Yeah,
I think I should discuss.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Ankush Mahajan from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Most of the questions have been answered, sir. Just on the, my question is related to the margins, sir. You already have answered. Just try to understand, sir, if we have closed these operations in Germany, and what kind of an impact we can see in terms of quantitative impact in the upcoming quarters.
So, I answered that as well. So, I think over an annualized basis, 21 to 24 crores accretive to the profits, to the margins.
You mean that's EBITDA margins?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Thanks very
much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Giriraj Daga from Acharya Family Trust. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, morning. Just few clarification first. Was Germany like an API unit or a formulation unit? And what percent of API was there, if API was there?
So Germany is a formulations unit. It's not an API unit. It is where we make some injectable products, you know, where we buy APIs from other suppliers, and it's, you know, marketed to within Europe and to some other markets.
Okay, okay. Second, when you look at your capacity utilization number of API 70 to 75, like what percentage of API goes for our internal consumption?
Very little of our API is used for probably, you know, 2 to 3% maybe at best, and that too at times, because most of our APIs are, as you know, most of our APIs are for regulated markets in the U.S. We don't have U.S. operations. So between U.S. and Europe, most of our customers would be purchasing this. So it's not for internal consumption.
So when we look at like FI last quarter, 4Q, we had revenue 127 crores. This quarter it's 94 crore. And you're talking 70-75, like we were operating at more than 100% in fourth quarter, or is the price reduction such drastic that volume is intact and prices have crashed?
So there are two parts to it. When I say 75%, we, you know, it's our main plant, which is there in Visakhapatnam, that operates at about 70-75%. We have another plant, which is a non-US FDA plant, which is in Mahad, which is in Maharashtra, which is at about 55-60%, but that largely makes albendazole. So that is one. I think the second part of it is that last year at the same time, when you saw a large base of 127 crores, there was a substantial amount which was a spillover from quarter three of that year, which was almost to the extent of about 14 to 15 crores, which came in as a spillover because the December ending of that year could not, you know, there were a lot of issues around shipping, etc., and it couldn't be sent. The third part of it from a capacity is that we also use CMOs for some of our requirements. And therefore, while our own plant may be occupied at about 70-75% in Vizag and about closer to 60% in Mahad, we utilize our CMO capacity also for some products.
Okay. Two more questions. One on the margin. When you mentioned the double-digit margin exit rate and the late teens margin, you're talking about the adjusted margins, not after the ESOP cost, right?
So I think all our discussion is on EBITDA margin pre-ESOP. Because ESOP is a non-cash item, we don't sort of look at it, but it's pre-ESOP operating margin. Yeah.
So practically, like if I add the 21 to 24 crore to 110 crore this year, we're anyway at 130, 135 crore, right, on a revenue of 1400 crore. So we're already at close to 9.5% already.
That's what we wanted to do with the rest. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Go ahead, yeah.
So the improvement, like, are we not expecting any material improvement from here up to quarter four?
Yes, as I said, that we do expect it, and I think we have a big variation in the margins this year, and therefore, you know, the indication is that we will do a double-digit, early double-teen margin as we exit the year.
Okay, my question is that 110 should be, like, even if I add this additional 20 crore, should become 130 crore, right? So ideally, we should be looking at 150, 160 crore minimum to start with for FY24 full year adjusted number.
So, Giraj, I'm not sure what 20 crore you're adding. Yeah. 110 crores is the...
The money operation cost, 21 to 24 you mentioned, right?
That is basically in the 110 crores. That is basically in the 110 crores. So the way... You should see it is 110 crores over, say, 1,400 crores is not 10%. So we'll move close to we'll move into the early double digits as we move to the end of the year.
Last question on the CapEx. Like this year we have some step up in the CapEx, some 86 crore. What was pertaining to which facility and other things? And what is the CapEx outlook for 24 and probably some visibility in 25?
It will be somewhat of a similar number for FY24 as well, and the main investments predominantly is in the capacity expansion in Vizag.
No, sorry. Like, if you look at the revenue for last 2-3 years, it's like flat broadly, right? And we will have some asset turnover of almost 2.5-3x, if I'm not wrong. So then, why do you need capex for this year also for 86 crore, somewhere like 85 to 90 crore?
Yeah, so these CapEx, Giraj, is basically, I mean, we have a line of sight of, you know, business expansion. We are trying to lock in new customers, new products. So this is more in line with our, with what we want to do in the future as we move ahead.
Location would be?
Like I said, predominantly Vizag as of now.
It will be in India, largely in our US FDA plant.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Darshan Cha, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, Darshan, go ahead.
Yes, sir. So I just wanted some updates on what are the growth prospects in Brazil like.
So Brazil is one of the world's, it's in fact in the top 5 market as far as animal health is concerned. We have been growing well in the last couple of years in Brazil. It's a market where we should grow in double digits, partly because we've also made an entry into companion animals last year, because we have acquired a small company to sort of make the entry into companion animals, and this year we will be expanding the range and the reach and the impact of that team. So it's an attractive market which would give us double-digit growth, but we have to make sure that, you know, it is profitable also. It is right now profitable, but there are in, you know, some sort of headwinds in terms of agriculture and commodity prices. Hopefully they, you know, they will be managed, and we should be able to see double-digit growth there as well. But for us, it's a strategic market going ahead. Yeah.
Okay, sir. And any updates on Nuri?
So we've done the integration of that team. We have put in a new sort of expanded the team now to be able to go to more the OTC and kind and veterinary doctors who are there, because this was more of a you know, nutrition kind of a portfolio. So we are also expanding our portfolio. So I think we should begin to see the results by quarter four this year of Nuri, because it will be annualized by then.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kostov from BMSPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
So, you know, if I observe from your calls that you did a few years ago, you kept talking about the potential US FDA approval for formulations. And, you know, since then, over the last few quarters, we haven't really spoken about this. So I was just trying to understand what happened over there and what is our plans to eventually enter this US market in formulations?
Thanks for this question. So the entry into US for formulation has two parts to it. The first is in the development of the product itself and the validations which are required, and then there is manufacturing, and then there is the eventual launch. The manufacturing of this was planned in Germany. The R&D for it and the development of the product and the registrations are all driven out of India in our R&D. We are completely on track on the registrations and filings which we had planned. However, the upgrade which we had planned in Germany is the one which, you know, we are now discontinuing for US FDA upgrade. But instead, we have arrangements right now to be able to manufacture these products at, you know, CMOs, so that we don't miss the timeline which we have with us on that. So it's only the manufacturing location for validation and eventual supply which will change, because a few years ago it was not available. But today there are CMOs with strong manufacturing capabilities for US which are available. The more important thing is to have the registration and the filing for that.
No, so question being that, okay, so the arrangement is changed, but when do we plan to enter this market, and are we going to enter this market anytime soon, given, you know, we've got so many other geographies to focus on and to still scale in? I mean, could you just speak a little bit about this whole thing? And so as to when you...
Yeah, go on, please, yeah.
No, that's it. Yeah. I think you got my question.
We are not scaling back on the current route to get there, because we have about close to 8 products and then eventually 12 for which we are developing the necessary dossiers. So that process is going on right now. I think we'll be able to probably get a clarity once we sign up formally the arrangements with the manufacturing. We don't you know, see too much of a difference, but a typical plan should be anywhere in about 24 months from now.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vignesh from Harmony Wealth Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I just want to understand the full year rates of cost which you need to put in.
Sorry, not very clear, Vignesh. Can you just repeat your question? It's not very clear.
So I just want to understand the full year ease of cost we need to factor in for the current year.
I didn't understand. It's not clear.
Your voice wasn't clear, so can you just repeat once again?
I just want to understand the full year ease of cost for the current year.
It is about 35 growth, Vignesh. Current year is 35 growth, and we expect it to bring down as we move into next year.
For the financial year FY 24?
FY24 will be lower.
It will be far. It will be lower. It will be significantly lower. Yeah.
And then on the API side, so I mean the last 4 years has been muted. So some color on the API business and I mean some update on the pricing pressure. If there are reductions in the pricing pressure or I mean some color on the API business.
So I think every year has been a little different because the last 4 years, if you take, we've had a couple of years of COVID as well. So from that point of view, the steady state is really what we should look at, which is perhaps this year. In terms of the pricing, yes, the pricing pressures do continue across. Partly it is led by the fact that, there's a reduction in demand in some of the end products for our customers. And there are people who are sort of supplying the APIs. So there is going to be that pressure, and that is the reason why we should do the kind of initiatives which we are doing in terms of improving our margins and cost competitiveness. That's how we retain our customers. Having said that, we have nearly 70% of our business which is with customers in regulated markets, and that while it may not give us the immediate opportunity to increase prices because that tends to be more dependent on when your contracts end and get renewed, we definitely don't have a downward pressure on prices when with some of these regulated market customers. Yet in the less regulated markets where it is what we call spot trading of products, there is obviously a pressure both from suppliers in other emerging markets as well as some in India as well. Having said that, we should also remember that there was a big spike in costs some time ago, but in the last 5 to 6 months, there is also some softening in terms of input prices. And therefore, we should be able to, move towards protecting our margins, even if, there is a slight pressure on pricing because of the initiatives, both in terms of the kind of stuff which we are doing, as well as the softening of input prices.
Thank you. Vignesh, I'll request to join the queue again for a follow-up. Next question is from the line of Prashant Kumar, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Prashant.
So my question is how long we have to bear this ESOP cost? How many more years to go for it?
Prashant, it will continue next couple of years at least, but it will trend down significantly, like I said.
In FY23, we had a cost around 35 crores. What can be the current cost? Any tentative number? I'm not looking for some.
It could be approximately about 18 to 22% lower than this next year.
18 to 20% lower, right? So around 25 to 28 crores, kind of. Right?
Yes, approximately. Yes. Yeah, it will trend down, that's right.
So are we planning, another question is, are we planning to enter into the Chinese market?
Into China?
Yeah.
We have no immediate plans to enter into China. I think from a formulation point of view, from an API point of view, at this point, it doesn't really play out because China is a manufacturer for most of the APIs.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much to all of you for joining this call, and I hope we've had an opportunity to answer your questions as well as give you clarity on the results of the recent quarter, as well as more importantly the direction which we are taking in terms of substantially improving the competitiveness of our business as well as the near and long-term medium-term forecast that we have for our growth as well as for our margin profile. Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much. On behalf of Sequent Scientific Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.